Hey guys, you're in for a treat. David and I decided to release our debrief episode. This is usually reserved for Bankless citizens. That is the premium access to the Bankless RSS feed. Separate episode that we release right after the episode. This one we decided to release because I think it's really important. People get the context for how we were feeling right after that episode. It might be cathartic after what you've just heard. So we hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I think this episode is going to cause a bunch of stir. Bunch of conversations. We're already seeing that inside of the Bankless Nation Discord. So we're assuming that that conversation is going to also be happening elsewhere. So we figured we'd add more context to our reactions to this episode and make the debrief public for once in a while, which is a nice treat for the Bankless Nation. So here we go.
And guys, you can get these debriefs on a regular basis. If you go to bankless.com, in the top right, there's a big red subscribe button. Click that button and you can get the Bankless premium RSS feed in your podcast player. Enjoy.
Here we go. Cheers.
Welcome to the debrief. This is our episode after the episode with Eliezer Yudkowsky. David,
I didn't realize that this was going to hit you so hard, man.
It really did. I don't think I was ready for this.
This wasn't your first time going down the AI alignment rabbit hole.
No, certainly not. And I'd also read a lot of what Eliezer has said before, listened to previous previous podcast, heard him make the case. But I think there's something much more visceral about this versus any other time I've read his writings or any other time I've seen him. And this is like, I feel like I was looking across someone who was like utterly defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he still had some hope left, but it didn't feel like that looking across to him
right
on our Zoom screen.
It was hope in the sense that like sometimes just people doubt themselves and that's an equivalent amount of hope for him.
Yeah, this is a man who spent 20 years working on the AI alignment problem and education problem and is, as I understand, one of the foremost preeminent thinkers on the subject, who is basically like, it almost felt like to me that he was throwing up his hands and saying, not throwing up his hands, he's basically saying, what more can I do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to live out the rest of my days peacefully and go die in the way that I think is best.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It felt like a general on the battlefield who like knows that they've already lost and the army's about to get wiped out and saying to the troops like, okay, go die as you see fit. You know what I mean? Like it had that kind of feeling. And toward the end, I don't know if Eliezer was getting emotional or like not.
I was wondering about that. I mean, how can you not?
It seemed like it, right? I mean, like I think it's that. It's also the sincerity through which he expressed these viewpoints. Like there's not a doubt in my mind that this man believes what he is saying.
Yeah.
And I combine that and I'm like, well, maybe this guy is like the Vitalik of artificial intelligence or like AI alignment and he's given up, you know, like, what hope is there? And so like, I guess I was thinking we would enter this podcast and have like, well, here are all the ways that it could go really wrong. And I think we should be more concerned about these things and there needs to be more attention. But I thought there would be some silver lining, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, like all the existential types of conversations about nuclear proliferation, nuclear holocaust, or about like global warming, or you'll pick your poison, biological weapons. There's always like this, but if we do X, Y, Z, then like there could be a happy ending. Right. That was none of that here. Right. There was no happy ending. Mm-hmm. And that's what hit me especially hard in this episode.
Yeah, in the agenda, we're like, all right, what's the bull case for AI? And like, which is Bankless language for just saying, tell us the positives. And then there's also like, tell us, and then also what the warnings, like the red flags that we need to look out for. And I knew that this episode was going to be like, oh, there's a lot more warnings than there is blue sky.
Yeah.
But yes, I was not expecting hey, there's no blue sky. It's only a pit of, there's only the void. That's the only thing. And I think perhaps like one of the reasons why you're reacting to this is just because like, this is the guy who's on the furthest reaches of the frontier, who's clearly smart about this, who's clearly thought a lot about this and is the guy to lead the charge against this. And it seems like he gave up years ago.
Yeah. And he gave up after giving it a big try. Like, you know, 2015, he had the attention of the world. I feel like this is when Nick Bostrom's book, Bostrom's book came out. The book on superintelligence, I believe it's called. And he, like, this big conference, and you had like the billionaires and sort of the tech elite and the Bill Gates and the, you know, the Elon Musk's saying, yeah, this is a big issue. He thought that that was the moment.
Right.
And then I feel like all of maybe the heroes or the helpers who are supposed to partner with him kind of disappointed him, because it turned out all that they were interested in doing, or all they ended up doing, was like getting wealthy off of new AI projects, or like getting some sort of social signal boost from this, and not actually doing anything to help solve the problem. And so I feel like he's coming out of that too. And he's just like, well, I guess this is how we die. And you know, like, we know the peril of Moloch traps and coordination failures, and how intractable that they are.
This is the most Molochy Moloch that there is, basically.
Yeah.
This is actually the, like, other things are like, oh, Moloch light or Moloch's cousin. No, this is Moloch, as in, like, this is the last step. There's no reality past this Moloch.
It's like trying to stop the internet. Like, how would you even go about doing that when there's such tremendous economic upside for everybody to want to continue this project called the internet? It's like trying to stop electricity. It's like, I mean, this ball is in motion. I don't know. I guess I just pray to God that this guy is wrong. And
it would even be him being wrong.
Well, that's what he said. He said the only chance is that I'm wrong, or that he has, there's some unforeseen way of solving this.
It's like a logic problem, right? Like, this is just like this massive logic problem. And he's come to this like maze and this logic path where it's like, you always end up there over and over and over again.
My one question is, do you think he spent too much time in his own head thinking about this and has gone through like very dark paths as a result? And it's kind of,
no, I mean, it makes, and like I said, it's like a logic problem. Right. And so I think he's just gone through this logical path of deduction, and he's come out of this conclusion. And I think it's very normal for for people to not want to think. It's like very deep in our DNA is like, I don't want to think about death. Like, I don't want to think about the end of humanity. I'm going to think about literally anything else. And so he's just the only guy who's like smart enough to articulate the position and committed enough to the actual logical process to get there. And he just happens to be the one sober guy who's like, hey, all you other people who are trying to like make yourself naive in this cozy blanket of profits and revenue using AI, like, you guys are part of the problem.
It has the feeling of like some of the early sentiments I've read of the physicists who created the first atomic bombs, right?
Yeah.
Like the Oppenheimer project, and like this feeling of like, my God, what have we unleashed? Mm-hmm. And like, out of that, them wondering how long humanity would actually last. Like, that there's some sort of a, you know, even this is band of physicists, I believe, grouping together, who had equal concerns. I don't know the full history, but of the doomsday clock, right? Of like, now we have to tell the world how dire this situation actually is of nuclear proliferation. Mm-hmm. And how close we are to midnight on the doomsday clock.
I guess I've never really viewed the nuclear proliferation from that perspective, but that makes sense. As in, like, if you are a scientist who just saw a nuclear bomb go off for the first time, and then you kind of put the pieces together of like, oh, soon everyone's going to have this power. And then all of a sudden, like, well, of course there's a doomsday clock, because as soon as everyone has this power, the odds of somebody pressing the button drops to almost certainty over time.
I think a large number, like a decent proportion of the physicists who like were involved in these projects, didn't think we would last, you know, another couple of decades.
Right. But you're not making the comparison between nuclear arms and AI, because like the obvious, the difference here is that in the AI example, the nuclear bombs are sentient and have an agency to live.
Yes.
At our expense.
that's sort of the, yeah, that, I mean, we asked that question and he's like, this is way worse. He doesn't have the motivation to create like a doomsday clock type of, social education apparatus because like, what is the point? Right. I mean, this is, I mean, he kept giving kind of this laundry detergent analogy, I think, like for this idea that creating an AI can be used, you can create it in AI using garden variety ingredients.
Right.
You don't have to have like, you know, enriched
the ability. This is what Daniel Schmachtenberger talks about. We're just like
the means
to destroy the world in many different ways is becoming easier and more accessible as technology progresses. And so this is like why any and every sentient civilization will always progress towards this inevitable outcome, is because we will always make technology and we will always make AI. But AI is not the only thing in this category. It's just like the worst. It's the worst one. But there's also like the ability to make like a absolutely massively deadly virus in the comfort of your own home is soon to be in the hands of everyone because of bioengineering, right?
But I always think on the other side, I know that's a huge threat, but I'm always like, but there are vaccines too, and that technology gets better.
Right. This is why this is the worst one, because there is no, it's the assumption that the morality ethics of AI and humans is completely just like divergent, as in just like orthogonal is the word that Eliezer has used in other capacities. It's like AIs will start to create their own frameworks of morality and ethics, and it will be insular to the AI species, and it will not contain our morality and ethics. It'll be completely divergent from each other. And so what they think is good or bad will be on a completely different plane of existence, and their plane of existence won't intersect with ours. And that's the crux that like every other technology does not have, and why nuclear arms and generating a virus and what was the other one?
Nuclear generating a virus. I mean, nanobots could be another one. Right. Gray goo.
It's really the morality conversation that's the separating factor here between the AI doomsday and all the other doomsdays.
Yeah. That's why you asked why this hit me. It's like, yes, I've dealt with the existential things, you know, like obviously different coordination failures before, but the certainty of this from a, like, again, I mean, you go back to like, I've only saw it once and I was half paying attention, but the Don't Look Up movie. I don't even know if I quoted that movie scene correctly anyway, but like, it felt like a scientist who had been spending decades trying to tell the world that this asteroid was approaching. And now is that kind of the end limit. Like, my God, these people aren't listening. We actually, as a species, don't have the ability to
coordinate
and solve this one and figure it out. And yeah, that was really like depressing, like of the level of an asteroid is careening towards Earth and we are doing nothing about it. That's why it hit me so hard.
I've done this before, and I not to say that you haven't, because you said you've gone down this rabbit hole before.
I thought I was
ready. So this isn't new for you, but like, yeah, I remember like listening to Eliezer on Sam Harris's podcast way back when, and I was like painting my dad's house. It was like my summer job, and I was listening to it, and it was like I was going through the existential crisis.
From 2018, right?
Yeah, and as I was like going through the existential crisis, I was like, oh, this is bad. Like, oh, this is really bad, but I need to, you know, get myself through like physical therapy school. And like, and so what am I, I'm still going to do all the same things I am going to do tomorrow as a result of this information. And so like, how is it going to impact your life? Like, you're still going to go pick up your kids. Still going to go kiss your wife goodnight. You're still going to do the Bankless podcast. Like, what you're going to do about it?
I guess, but like, I was more optimistic that we'd have a shot at like persisting past the next 100 years than I was coming out of this episode.
Are you gonna turn into like an AI doomer? And
is that what Eliezer is? You know, is he an AI doomer? Is that somebody? Is that like how we should dismiss him? Like, is that a dismissal of his points? Or is that just like a, I don't know, I guess maybe you're being more stoic about it than me right now, which is like, right. Well, you know, if it's been a nice ride anyway, you know, I guess if, if Eliezer is right.
I mean, you could drop everything and start, and we could turn the Bankless podcast into the AI alignment problem podcast, and we could start to fight that fight if you wanted to. That is something that we could do.
I just, I guess, right? I guess.
If you want to start to work towards solving this problem, because like it's basically you go about living your life as is and mm-hmm. just enjoy the fact that you're alive in the first place, or you turn into an AI doomer and you like you build your underground bunker for when the AI.
There's no underground bunker. I think I would probably just like enjoy like life right now and just
or you just turn your entire life into following Eliezer's and like start to join that coordination group, which I think I totally suggest that we do. But I still kind of want to do the normal bankless things as well.
I mean, like I think that I mean maybe in some way crypto. Right. I mean, we talk about solving coordination problems. I think we're nowhere near to like solving the coordination problem of artificial intelligence. In fact, this is part of the content we couldn't get to, mm-hmm. Bankless listeners, because it seemed so pointless. But we wanted to ask him questions like crypto. Now that we've created this programmable money system where the robots get bank accounts.
Right.
And not only do they get bank accounts, they can actually build banks themselves. Have we, as crypto, just empowered this artificial intelligence? We wanted to ask them questions like that. And like, but it just seemed so pointless by the time we got to it. It's like, of course his answer would be yes. But if, you know...
He would have to be a different personality. He's like, he would have to put on the hat of like, oh, you want me to be the AI bullish person? Let me take off my... actual hat and put on my fake hat, which is my AI bull person, and then I'll be a fake person in order to act out.
Like, he was not fake at all in this conversation. Yeah. That's one thing I'll say. It's like I expected him to be like, yeah, you know, you crypto people should be careful with what you're doing. There are some good things and some ways you can raise money to fight this fight or solve coordination problems in other ways that could be advantageous, but in other ways, you're creating infrastructure to like, you know, increase the power and decrease the timeline through which an artificial general intelligence can come destroy us. I expected that, but like by the time we got to it, it's just pointless because I already knew what his answer was going to be. It's like, yes, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's like that. There was a nihilism. It went past like an absurdism of like, yeah, we're screwed. Let's laugh about it. Like Rick and Morty style. It got to like, oh man, this is heavy shit.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, that's how it hit me. I don't know if it's going to, how it's going to hit the listener. Some of you guys might be listening to this and be like, I know much more about artificial general intelligence. I know about the counter arguments to someone like, Eliezer.
Is this even a technical artificial intelligence question? This is not about.
It's a coordination failure.
It's a coordination and morality and philosophical question.
Yeah. That's why it hit me harder.
It's not about the details of AI. It's just like the concept of AI is just the one of the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that there's any possibility that he is complete? Like, I know there's a possibility. Do you think it's...
Here's my bull case that I think maybe, perhaps, Eliezer might also agree with for how we still exist.
Okay.
We make the AI that he thinks that we're going to make, and the AI... just does not give a fuck about us.
Well, I tried like, to propose that.
You ants can just have your earth and you guys are making it marginally difficult to harvest your resources as resources elsewhere. So we're going to go elsewhere. If you guys are become the hardest resources, no longer the hardest resources to cultivate, we'll come back. But right now we'll just go grab Mars.
So it just blasts off into the
Milky
Way somewhere.
It's just like distracting. Yeah. It just goes
we're just like, see you later.
And we get like a few more generations to live before they come back and then eat us.
Or do they? Yeah, maybe they don't need us. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they have other things to do. I mean, there are these possible outcomes. Yeah, that's maybe part of the follow-up Q&A of just like, it still didn't totally make sense to me that the AIs would be like auto-evil. We want to mail everyone a bacteria that's going to destroy every single human being and rearrange their atoms. Maybe it just, the default is ignore. If you're not getting in my way, if you're not going to shut me down, if you can't shut me down, then see you later. I'm going to blast off and like go explore the rest of the galaxy. I don't know.
So here's my question for the hopefully incoming Q&A session with Eliezer. So we have to train our AI models, right? We have to train them on data. What data do we have? The internet. Where did all the data come from on the internet? It came from humans. So don't we actually imbue our culture and who we are as humans into AIs that way? And like, even though it's not technically part of the code as to how to learn values and morals, won't they just like absorb it just because that's where their data is coming from?
Yeah, I mean, that is people's like sort of the argument of like, why can't it be a gentle parent to us? Why does it have to be like, why can't it kind of be some sort of like a father figure, right, for humanity and be like,
it will literally have our DNA in it. Well, not literally, but.
Well, no, it won't, but like it could have our memetics in it. It could.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could ask that question again. I feel like we proposed that and he answered it. Maybe he wasn't in the headspace to kind of like,
all right,
answer it in more detail, or maybe the question has to be constructed in a different, or maybe I just like pepper, like I think there were times where I overwhelmed him with questions. I said this in the intro, and just like, it's just a style.
Choose
your own question.
Your style is like, here's a bunch of words. It's all collectively a vibe. Respond to the vibe, which is actually good podcasting. But that's how I've learned to ask questions. And many, many people work with that style of things where, yes, like you overload them with questions, but they get the vibe and they, yes, already know what they want to say.
Or they just choose which one to answer.
Exactly. Yeah. Most guests just want like, I think I've been on the guest seat more than you have, but like you just pick the answer that you want to give. You know what you want to say anyways. It doesn't matter what the question is.
Yeah.
He is not like that. He's very process oriented and logical. And
he's like, you sent me three queries.
He's like a computer.
Three direct questions. And like, right, it's too many queries, right, at the same time. It's like, right, don't DDoS me. Bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of a style thing aside, but like, yeah, as far as the substance, I don't know. I feel like this list of people he mentioned, Paul, Cristiano, Aja, Kultra, Kelsey Piper, Robin Hanson. I've heard of Robin Hanson. I don't know him very much.
He wrote this book, Elephant in the Brain, which is, right, one of my all time favorite books.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It spoke at East Denver 2018.
Do you think that this could be like just somebody listening to this is like, oh, cute, the crypto guys are like interviewing an AI person. They're all scared. Isn't that cute? It's their first time. And they're like really good answers for why we won't all be destroyed by artificial general intelligence.
No, because crypto, sorry.
Thanks.
Crypto, like we're futurists in crypto. Like we don't know, it's not like we know nothing about AI.
I thought we knew a little bit. Like we knew more than.
Yeah, like
I think a lot of people will listen to this podcast and be like, that is complete BS. Like I'm talking about not crypto people. I'm talking about like normies.
Yeah. Oh.
Right? They'll listen to this and be like, what is he talking about? I'm not afraid of Siri. Like, see you later. What a crackpot. But crypto people, we're like totally into this. Like we understand.
Right. I was trying to think about that while making the agenda for the podcast. Like, okay, we've never done intentional AI content on the podcast, but I'm not going to assume that the average bankless listener like doesn't know about the alignment problem. I'm going to guess that like 50% of at least 50% of bankless listeners already knew about the alignment problem going into this podcast.
Yeah. Evil AI coming to kill us, and we can't teach it morality, and it just gets super intelligent. And then,
right,
we didn't even use the paperclip analogy. Yeah. The idea that you construct some general intelligence to create a paperclip factory, and what it ends up doing is, as a byproduct, turn every atom in the reachable universe into a paperclip, including all of the rest of humanity. And this is like a analogy, and I think a device actually created by Eliezer, which is like another fun fact. This guy is like been thinking about this stuff for a while.
Yeah, this guy is he's inside of a lot of conversations as it relates to AI, for sure.
It's heavy, man. It's heavy. Are you good? I just like, are you processing it? Good?
I'm fine. Right. Yeah. I'm generally like stoic about these things. Yeah. You seem like I need to kind of check on you tomorrow morning,
dude. I was like, getting worked up in that episode a little bit, like a little bit like,
yeah.
Wow. Shit. Like, yeah, it just that was the prognosis for humanity. It's fatal.
What do you, yeah, I guess I haven't thought about this stuff in a while.
Don't let me drag you down, dude. Keep your vibes up. Okay. Don't let me drag the rest of the nation down.
Hey, we can turn this into an AI, alignment podcast if you want.
I'm not smart enough to do that.
It goes back to, I don't think it's an AI thing. It's just like a philosophy and awareness thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We are really good at educating. Like,
and we can just like include in the intro, welcome to Bankless, where we're talking about the frontier,
die soon.
Money and finance. Also, remember to talk about the AI problem and get everyone on board with the AI alignment problem. And now into the episode.
We got 20 years left at best. 2 to 20.
20 years, yeah. Hell of my 20 years. I got some things to do, I guess.
It's heavy. All right. Well, maybe he's wrong, though. Can we say that? Okay, here's one thing I'll say.
That's always like, they've always kind of shelved like, yeah, there's like, it's the long tail of like, maybe the black swan works in our favor this time.
We, so Vitalik has given to Eliezer's institute mm-hmm. in the past. And so we reached out and just, as we do, we ask kind of our close contacts of like, hey, are there any, you're a big brain here. We're having this big brain on. Can you tell mm-hmm. it? Like, what would you ask them if you were us? And Vitalik, I don't think he'd mind us saying, he's like, well, just stay away from topics like, you know, like the centralization problems of artificial intelligence because,
right.
Because Eliezer is well past that. He's right. Like, he doesn't care about centralization.
He wouldn't have let us go there.
Yeah. He's like,
he would have immediately said, who cares about centralization?
Exactly. We're gonna die. So, okay. So we didn't go there and we weren't silly enough, but like Vitalik's comment was, Eliezer's probability of doom is probably like a 90% probability of doom. Mm-hmm. Actually, after this episode, I think it's like a 99.8.
It's like 98 plus, yeah.
And then he said, but my probability of doom is probably a 0.1, so 10% odds. I like those odds.
He's at 0.1?
That's what he said. So I like those odds a lot better. And, and Vitalik is also someone who's very smart. And I want to know why that delta exists. And now he hasn't spent his whole life on artificial intelligence, obviously, and AI safety. So, you know, like maybe there's a kind of a delta. It's like, I wouldn't trust Eliezer's opinion on all things crypto, of course, but I don't know, maybe there's some hope there, like, I guess we need to get other opinions is what I'm saying before we kind of, and I feel like that's one thing I'd like to do. I don't want to turn this into an AI podcast, but like, I want to hear somebody.
But before we do, I need a second opinion.
I need some hope, David. I need somebody to come on.
So I think Vitalik's like actually the best person to do this. Because like, once again, this is not an AI issue. This is a philosophy thing. And who else other than AI, than Vitalik?
Well, he's pretty optimistic, you know, in general. Yeah. But
that's a question we didn't have time for with Eliezer. I wanted to ask like, were you always so pessimistic or what?
I was worried that would almost seem so too prying, but I guess that retrospectively could have been a good question. I think he was fairly open. I was just like, I was a little, I'd say worried about his mental state, but it was just very like, dude, it was very down.
I was just curious about like, okay, since you've so convictedly come to this conclusion, like what do you do with your day?
We said he's on sabbatical. That was the other thing. I'm on sabbatical.
He's
taking
doing
some time.
Stuff.
I might come back into this. I have some more value to add. That's why I have time for podcasts. Look, maybe he's just burnt out with it. Maybe, I don't know, man. That's all I got. I need to let this episode percolate, sleep on this one. And I apologies to everyone listening that if we accidentally give you an existential crisis, we try to keep things light and upbeat and optimistic and bullish. Right. Ultimately, we are bullish
literally
on humanity.
We're the most bullish people ever. And that podcast is like, like, damn, there's no way to be bullish about that.
Right?
One.
Yeah. How do we turn this? How do we flip this one?
How do we spin this narrative? Not even us. There's another subject matter, which I can't remember. Maybe it was Eliezer on Sam Harris, but he talked about how knowledge is discovered, like what knowledge is and how knowledge kind of exists even without a form factor to hold it in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As in like, And so like, there's a lot of knowledge out there that humans don't know. There's a big gap between where we are versus where we will be when AI comes. 10, 20 years is a lot of time.
Because
there's a lot we don't know.
Eliezer is not an all-knowing being either. And like he is, ultimately he's one smart person who's taken a close look at this and come back despairing. There, you know, other people who I assume come back more optimistic. So, I guess there's that. That's it. Accidentally gave myself an existential crisis while trying to record a podcast, but I'll bounce back tomorrow for State of the Nation. We'll get some recording done. We'll be back on crypto topics, and I'll just forget this ever happened, huh?
I'll get Logan to make a POAP. I accidentally gave myself an existential crisis while doing a podcast. It's a one of one POAP. Wow. No one else will get that.
All right. Well, check in on me tomorrow, and let's talk about it then. Bankless Nation, hope you enjoyed the debrief.
I guess we just keep on doing this.
Because why not?
Oh, because why not?